He's better than an apple. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, Scotty's going to do my sermon after I do my sermon. He tells me it ain't mine. I said, but I go first. I like the devil. I don't listen to you. Well, usually we don't talk about things or anything like that, about our sermons or messages or anything. But on the way to church, I started saying some things. Just I'm talking out loud or whatever. And then he's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, hey, don't you even say that so-and-so six and this and that. And he's like, that's my sermon. I'm like, I go first. So I guess y'all get it twice, huh? But he can't say it like I say it. I can't say it like he says it. Anyway, I don't know what his title is, but mine is called Put on the New Man. God is good, amen, all the time. The Bible says he's good to all that call upon his name out of a right heart. If you got your Bible, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Now, let me say this while we're all turning over there. And this is going to be, I believe, in the King James Version. And Beth will put it on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. Or if you, I know Mama that she's like, I'm glad y'all got that screen, because I have to take off my glasses to read my Bible and put on my glasses to see you. So the way I do, she's like, put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off. Because I'll say a verse and then I'll say something and then I'll go back to the verse. So she's very glad we have the screen. I never met anybody before that have to take their glasses off to read. But she does, and that's okay. That's her. But let me say this morning, remind y'all. Y'all remember we was talking, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, I guess, something like that, before Monty did Sunday school, about the title was Walk in the Light. Y'all remember that, right? And we got so far as being on hypocrites and all that, how Jesus called them pretenders and all that. A hypocrite, when you look at the word, it means somebody that's pretending to be something that they're not. How many knows that if you're a Christian and you go to church, you're a hypocrite if you walk in the old man? Y'all come on now. See, most people look at it the opposite way. They think if you're going to church and doing right, that you're trying to be something that you're not. But how many knows, according to the word, if you do that, you're just being who you are. But when you act like that old man and walk in that old, you're being a hypocrite. Why? You're not that person anymore, according to Scripture, right? And he said, walk in the light. And we talked about it being progressive, right? That as you walk in the light that you have, you get more light. The Bible says we see light in his light. The entrance of his word brings light to us. We pray that he would enlighten the eyes of our understanding, right? That's what one of the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for them. So this is kind of, it's going to go along with all of that. Because how many knows, everything is connected in my life. I can't separate my spiritual life from what I consider to be my natural life. That's what's wrong with some people. You either are a Christian all the time or you're not one. You get born again, you are one. See, y'all, and you may have to renew your mind to some of this that I'm going to say this morning, just like the statement I'm fixing to say right now. Some probably have heard it said, you know, well, we all sin a little bit every day. Y'all never heard that? I've heard it. But it's a lie. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, he said, if you continue, there's an if. Some people's not continuing, and that shows you their problem. There's some people that would bring them light, and they would be better off if they was in this service this morning, and they're not. You can pray for them, Johnny, all day long, and you'll get nowhere. It will do nothing. Why? Because, see, the Holy Spirit, he is the helper. He's not the doer. Y'all didn't all say amen. Why not? Does the Bible say the Holy Spirit's the doer? According to John, the Holy Spirit is a helper. What's that mean? It means, Sandy, if I call you to come over and help me, and I'm laying on the couch drinking me some tea, if you're going to help me, how you going to help me? You got to get on the couch and suck you down some tea, too. Is that right? Now, if I'm cleaning my house and I ask Sandy to come over there and help me, and she gets on the couch, lays down and sucking up some TV and some air conditioner, what's she doing? She's not helping me. But if you get over there and you start scrubbing on that toilet while I'm on that bathtub, now she's helping me. Right? What a lot of people do, and I know what they're saying. I've done it before myself. Help me. But see, I have to make the decision, and then he'll come along and be the paraclete that the Bible says he's the helper. But if I'm not making the decision, there's nothing for him to help. So you can pray for people all day long, and we should pray for people. But how many knows part of prayer is finding out what he wants, not what they need. You see, I can know what you need all day long, and I can tell you and do you nothing. Offend you, actually, sometimes. Because, see, it's not about what I know you need. It's about what will you receive. Because, see, usually if I have to tell you or somebody has to tell you, he's done tried to tell you. Right? Because he's not into embarrassing people. He's a one-on-one relationship God. He talks to me first. If I'm not getting it for some reason or I reject it for some reason, then a lot of times he will send me a person that will tell me. And most of the time they don't even know what they're telling me. But I know what they're telling me, right? But see, then you still can reject it. See, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, and Scotty quoted half of it, I believe it was Wednesday night. And it may have been from another place. But I believe it's Hosea 4:6. It says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." And the church says, "Amen." Whoa, 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 whoa. Read the rest of the verse. How many knows a half a verse is a complete lie? That's what the things that the devil would quote to Jesus, right? He said, "Cast yourself down, because this written, you know, God will bear, the angels will bear you up." But then Jesus come back and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." The Bible also says, "Don't tempt the Lord thy God." But it says over there, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." But the rest of the verse says, "Because you have rejected knowledge." See, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. Not just you get born again and you're going to know the truth. No. His word tells me his will. His word tells me his ways. Right? Oh, he's so mysterious. No, he's not. Now, he does things 101 ways that I've never crossed my mind of how to do it. But they're not a mystery. A mystery is something you got to figure out. You don't got to figure God out. He tells you. Gee, I quoted the scripture to Scotty on the way over here. Jesus said, "Take upon you my yoke." Why? Because my yoke is easy. I don't got to figure that out. Are you hard or easy, Jesus? He says, "I'm easy. My yoke is easy." Oh, his burden is so heavy. Is that what the Bible says? He said, "My yoke is easy." He said, "My burden is light." What's a mystery about all of that? What's to figure out about that? Nothing. So then he's not mysterious. My problem is a lack of knowing the word, right? And when I know what the Bible says about him or about a situation, then according to the word, faith always comes. Then when faith comes, I got to act on it. I act like the word's true regardless of what I think. I act like the word is true. I act on it because of what it says, not because of how I feel or what it looks like. God says, "I call those things that be not as though they were." He looked into darkness, complete darkness, and said, "Light be." Right? We're supposed to be the same way. See, there's some people should be here this morning, and I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you're in the service or not. As far as my personal self is concerned. But do you understand? I'm not just talking. Listen, I'm talking to people that are listening by way of internet right now. Facebook, that could be in the house of the Lord somewhere. See, you sitting on Facebook listening to the sermons and then do nothing gets you nowhere and you become deceived and can't figure out why your life never changes. And blame it on God. How dare you? There's nothing wrong with my Father. There's nothing wrong with His Word. His Word has been tested and tried and proven throughout the years, and it has tested and tried people, and some of them have made it and some of them have failed. Because there's nothing wrong with Him, and there's nothing wrong with His Word. But how many knows a lot of times that's the first place we look? God, why didn't you do this? He's like, well, why didn't you do that? God always does his part, but he will not do our part. See, I cannot leave up to God what God has left to me. He tells us what to do. He tells us, I've set before you this day, told him in the Old Testament, didn't he? I've set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death. And then what's he say? You choose. But what do we like? God, you choose for me so that if it don't work out, I can blame it on you. Y'all not saying nothing. We'll just talk about me. Been there, done that. Help us, Lord. According to Scripture, your mind is your mind. Listen, let me finish up with that. And if you're not too smart, he goes on. And he says, choose life. If you can't figure it out, I'm going to tell you which one will be the best for you to do and is my will for you. Because I'm good and I love you and I got a good plan for your life. But you choose. See, God owned every person ever born in this earth and ever will be by creation. Right? We all can agree with that according to Scripture, right? God created everybody. According to Scripture, the seed is in the man and Adam was the man, right? And therefore, every person that gets born into the earth, you are born into sin. You must be born again, Jesus said. Why? Because Adam and Eve sinned, and every person ever would come into the earth had to come through Adam, through that seed. And that seed got tainted because they gave their rights up to the devil, right? And he became the god of this world, according to Scripture. And the Bible says, then every person, every man, which means mankind, then became born into sin. And Jesus said, you must be born again. So number one, God owned us by creation. He created everybody. I don't care how you got here. God created you. He knew you was coming. You wasn't a mistake and you didn't catch him off guard. Now maybe your mom and daddy didn't know it, but he knew it. And he approved of you. But anyway, so number one, he owns us by creation. Okay, then he goes on. He sends Jesus because everybody's born into sin, right? So we could be born again. We've been taken out of relationship, right? Relationship with God, right? Okay, and the Bible says death passed upon all mankind because man had sinned. God wants us to live. So he gives Jesus. Now I'm paraphrasing quickly as I can here because I got to get somewhere. So when he was crucified, buried, raised from the dead, all of that. Now once by faith, the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, right? The gift of God. There's nothing that you can do other than believe it and receive it. It must be appropriated to your own life. But once you do that, you receive him, now you become born again. Now he owns you twice over. Am I right? According to Scripture. Now he owns you doubly. But Sandy, he won't make you do anything. That is the good thing about God. He says, I created you. I paid a price to get you back, to redeem you once you went AWOL, so to speak. And then he brings it over here and he says, now I have freed you to give you the right to choose me. Is that right? If he was going to make anybody choose, he would make everybody get born again, would he not? Because that's going to determine your entire destiny for eternity. That is the ultimate decision that every one of us must make. And if he was going to make anybody do anything, he would make everybody choose him. He would make everybody get born again. But how many knows there's people left and right dying and leaving this earth and going to hell? And they will be there for eternity because once you leave here, you can't change that. That's done. You should have got it changed before you left here. Right? According to Scripture. It can't be changed. And that is so important. And God loves us so much, but he still will not make you make that choice. But see, he made each one of us free to make the choice. Because see, we couldn't redeem ourselves from sin. We couldn't come out of that. We couldn't be good enough. Our own blood couldn't change that. Nobody's blood but his could change that. So what we couldn't do, God, in Jesus, through Jesus, came and did for us and said, now choose. And if you ain't too smart, choose life. Choose blessing. Because I got a good plan for you. But how many knows, according to, even though he has a good plan, it is mine and your every day, all day long decisions. Every day. Right? But there's people out there that they tell this lie that is a doctrine of devils. God's in control. Now, I will agree that the ultimate of how this thing's going to turn out, according to Scripture, God's in control of that. But whether he uses me or you, how many knows, that's mine and your choice. Just like he showed us, we was not the first choice to do what we're doing right here in Bluntsville. Others was called, they didn't make it. It's going to be our choice. We're called, but it's going to be ultimately our choice whether we make it. We can quit today. Close this place down and go home and be in the bed. Right? Oh, no, I just believe if something's the will of God now, he's going to make you do it. Really? If you ate breakfast this morning, and whatever you ate, did he make you eat that? Or did you choose? Well, yeah, I choose that, you know, but ultimately the big things, you know, God chooses and makes me do. No, he don't. Why? Because we can't leave up to him what he's left to us. And he's done things, but then he says, now you got to choose this. You got to choose me. You got to choose life. You got to choose right. I've made you the righteousness of God in Christ, but now you got to make the choice to be right, do right. I made you right. Ain't that what the Bible says? But how many is every day I got to choose the right? And if I choose the right, I get the results of the right of what he says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God according to, what is it, Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness or his way of doing and being right. He's done made me the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what I am. That's the standpoint of who I am. But how many knows, my doing is my choice. Just like your mind belongs to you. My mind, that revolutionized my life when I found that out. Because I used to get up and I'd just lay on the couch and just let it just think. I mean, you know, you said that 1-2 punch thing. I mean, I'm just laying there and the devil's just like this. I mean, seriously, and I don't know, even as a Christian, that I can change this. Before I got saved, I mean, I had got so bad and my mind was just so tormented and so bad and I couldn't control it. I didn't know I was supposed to control it. Even as a non-Christian, you can control your mind. I can't tell you probably how many people has thought about going out there and robbing. We told them. That lives here in Bluntsville. You can't tell me nobody has. I've thought about it myself. Scotty too, probably 2 or 3 times over. You know what kept me from doing it, Sandy? The result of my actions. I don't want to go to jail. So therefore, guess what, Johnny? I don't let myself think on that. I just figure out another way. Right? So, excuse me, even lost, you can control your mind to a certain degree. You choose what you think on. But for some reason or another, a lot of times we get born again and come over here in the church and now it's just, oh, everything's up to God. If my life turns out good or turns out bad, it's just all up to God. That's a lie. Because see, if you're not in control of your life and your decisions, the devil says, I'll do it. Oh, buddy, and will he? And you will not like the results that you get of the choices that you yield to him that he makes. He will drive your car into the ground. What do I mean by that? Your physical body, he'll drive it into the ground. He'll cause it to smoke, do drugs, drink, fornicate, everything you can possibly think of. Y'all not saying nothing. And then you're 40 and you look like you're 90. Why? Sin makes you look older than what you really are. Oh, boy. What did I tell y'all, Romans 5? I don't think we got time for all that now. Let me just paraphrase it. Y'all go back and read it. I was going to read Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 12 through, Yeah, so y'all got it. Where are they? 21, and it talks about what I basically just said, that how that sin entered in through Adam and Eve, and therefore death reigned to every man. Every person died. There was no salvation or anything. But then the Bible says that life came and began to reign, or grace, through Jesus Christ. Then men could be born again. So that's basically what it says. You can go back and read it for yourself. Study it at home. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to see this one for yourself. I want us to read it. Glory to God. See, that's liberating what I just said to me. Because that tells me I can do something about my life. God's already done everything He needed to do so I could make the choice. Right? So I could be free. Stop laughing at my glasses. So I could be free to make the choice. And then He tells me what choice I need to make, because He's good, because He loves me, and everything in His plan is good for me. Now, does it all feel good? Why, no. Of course not, you know. I mean, you can even get tired of tasting pie in a pie factory if you do it long enough. I mean, I'm sure you could, couldn't you? I mean, you can just only eat so much chocolate for so many years, every day after day. But anyway, here in 2 Corinthians. I need to get over. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5. I wanted to start in verse 14. I guess we will. Now, the scriptures above this, he's talking about their ministry and the preaching and all of that. How do I got that? King James? Yeah. I'm going to start in verse 14. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Basically what we just said. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man..." What's that mean? Just what it says. I don't care who you are, how old you are, what color you are, male, female, does not matter, right? If any human being, is what he's saying. When he says man, it means mankind. So any man... "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." What's that mean? You get born again. You repent of your sins, ask Jesus to come in somehow or another, however that you do that, right? Then he goes on here. Notice what he says. He is a what? New creature. That does away with that crap that you're a sinner. You are no longer a sinner according to Scripture. When you get born again, according to Scripture, now you become a saint. And I don't care what the Catholics say. I'm not on the Catholics. You understand what I'm telling you? They make people saints. Jesus made people saints. All of us saints, once we get in Him. And we do not ever have to sin again. According to Romans 6, sin shall have no dominion or authority over us. Now, I didn't say you can't. That's a choice. Right? We can. I have. Probably you have. But it doesn't mean that we have to. Because we don't have to. Right? So now you are a new creature. Well, I just feel like I used to. Stop feeling! Who told you to feel? What is it? Romans 1:17, I'm thinking. That it says that the just shall live by faith. What's that mean? I live my life based on what I believe. I believe what I believe because the Bible says it. Well, I don't feel like that. I don't care. I don't feel like I'm married all the time. But I'm married. I've been married over 40 years now. And I tell Scotty, if you ever feel like you ain't, just ask me. And I'll let you know you are. Right? If you ever feel like you're not saved, just ask the book and it'll tell you. You are. The Bible says, "All who call upon the Lord shall be saved." Did you call on Him? Then you got born again. And I don't care how you feel, you are. Well, I just feel like going to the honky-tonk. I don't care what you feel. It's just a feeling. What are you going to do? Tell it no. No, thank you. I'm going to all the honky-tonks I want to go to, and I'm not going to none, and I'm not going to start now. Hello? This is what a lot of Christians, and I have done, I'm telling you, I have done this. So there is no condemnation. You get up. Oh, it's Jesus, I surrender. Oh, I just love you, Lord. Good night. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. See you in the morning. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, this just sucks. Your eyes pop up. Y'all never have no eye this me. I mean a lot. Just had such a wonderful night with the Lord. Oh, tangible, inside. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Inside presence of the Lord. Oh, everything's great. Scotty's so sweet. Just smushes fat little cheeks. You know, just love him. And then the next morning, the sight of him. It's like, oh, don't even talk to me. I'm telling you, you talk to me, I'm going to put you right in your mouth. He's done nothing. What is that? Am I saved? Yeah! Do I feel saved? No! So what am I going to do? I come down the hall and Scotty says, good morning, baby. Like, yeah, you're so-and-so, blankety-blank, so-and-so. Don't tell me good morning. And I go to the kitchen. I know y'all don't ever do none of that. What's that mean? Am I saved? You better believe I'm saved. I'm just as saved as I was the day I got saved and have been for 30-something years. But I'm carnal as carnal can be. What's that mean? I am as fleshly can be, and I am yielding. That's all it is. I feel it. Sandy, can you come help me? I feel it, so I'm going to do it. Well, hang on just a second. Let me go over here to this scripture before I do that. Y'all get that right. You are a new creation. You get born again, you are not the person you used to be. Now you are in right standing with God in your spirit, in here, about right in here. The core of your being, right? The heart of a tree. That's why we call it the heart, the middle of it. He lives right in here. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides, lives within you, right? Christ in you, the anointed one in his anointing, which is the hope, the confident expectation of the glory, right? Lives in me and you now. We're no longer the person we used to be, regardless of what you feel. But now, according to Romans 12, 2, if your life is going to change, now you got to renew your mind. Hello, right? Is that what it says? That's one reason why a lot of people, you don't see a lot of transformation in their life. They're born again in their spirit, but they still go to the pawn shop. Hello! Still go to the pawn shop, still go to the bank, still go to the credit union, still go to the divorce court. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Because it's how I feel. I still do the same things I used to do. Even though in my heart, my spirit, I've been born again. And Johnny, my want to's different. I don't want to. But how many know? You can't do beyond what you think and believe. Let me get over there because I got to have Sandy come up here. What in the world? Okay, I said that right now. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all go back and read that whole Corinthians there. I ain't got time for all that. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading King James Version, verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not. What? Walk not as other Gentiles. What's that mean? People, nations, heathen. People without a covenant with God. They're not born again. Me and you walked and lived our lives by everything we saw, everything we thought, everything we felt, everything we wanted before we got born again. Right? That's why my life was in such a mess. Well, then once you get born again, you walk by what this word says in the spirit on the inside of you, not by how you feel. Usually, everything you do is going to be contrary to how you feel. And you must renew your mind to think like he thinks and like he tells us to think. And if you don't know how to think, read Philippians chapter 4. He tells you. If it ain't lovely of a good report, right? Bad report, don't even tell me because it's la, 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 la. I don't listen to you. I'm serious. Why? I'm 54. I'm supposed to be 55 here for long. I ain't got a lot of time left because I sinned a lot and I probably cut off some. Now, I'm having to believe God to redeem some. You get what I'm saying? I've got time for your foolishness. I don't got time for my foolishness. I got a work to do before I leave here, and I think I'm kind of behind, Samantha. So he says, henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, we talked about the light, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, or you could say lawlessness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off. Well, God's going to put it. Is that what it said? God's going to put off the old man. God's going to put off your old conduct, your own way of doing and being. Is that what it says? Who's going to do it? Travis, you're going to do it for me, ain't you? You're going to come to my house every day and do it for me. I'll punch him right in the mouth. Don't you even try. Nobody boss me around. The Apostle Paul said, I make myself a slave to Christ. I make myself a slave to him, Sandy. He doesn't make me. I choose to be his slave and serve it to my brother. Right? That's why I'm free. And when you do it by choice, ain't no devil, ain't no person can stop you, because you are loving what you do. Let me go in here before we run out of time. Excuse me. What do we get to? 22. He says, that you, me, put off concerning the former conversation, you could say conduct, of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of what? This is all connected, people. It's not just spirit. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that God's going to put on the new man. Are you serious? Gosh, I got in this not to make any decisions. Tough. You're going to have to make the decisions. I'm going to have to make the decisions. And the Holy Spirit's going to help me, but he won't make me, and he won't do it. But when I make the choice, Sandy, he'll come right alongside, help me, strengthen me, show me, reveal to me. Whatever I need, he'll give it to me. He'll help me with it, right? As long as I make the choice and I keep the choice made. If I make the choice to come to church, Johnny, ain't nothing and nobody can stop me. Hailstorm, if I need to get here and I choose to get here. Listen, I've seen my mama walk because she wanted something. Snow that you're having to do like this. All the way to the store. Did you not? Could nothing stop her. Not no wind, not no cold, not no snow, knee deep, stopped her from doing what she chose to do. Can't nobody stop you when you make a choice but you. Or let the devil lie to you and talk you out of that choice. Because me and you have control. God's given it to us. Me and you are the only ones that has the choice. He's given it to us, right? So we're going to choose to put on that new man. He says that you, and that you put on the new man. Notice who he is. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are right with God because you accepted Jesus, and that's the only reason. Now you believe that and you go and you make the choice to do right. Whatever he says is right, right? And he will help us. He says, which after God's created in righteousness, true holiness, wherefore he starts saying, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Woo! So if you're lying, it's the best way to break yourself from lying that I know of. Say I'm talking to you, Samantha, and say I caught a fish this big and I make it out to be this big. Instantly I say that right in here, I feel something. Don't you? I'm going to break myself. Well, Samantha, I'm sorry, but that was a lie. Right in your eyeballs. I'm sorry. That was a lie. I don't know if it was pride or what it was, but anyway, my fish was actually this big, and I'm sorry. You do that a few times, you'll quit that dogged lying. I guarantee you. Well, let's go on to the next one. But see, what is that? Well, God, just make me stop lying. Is he going to do that? He won't make you stop lying. Why? You choose. And even if you have lied, listen, I have met people that the truth would be better if they'd just tell it. But they have lied so much, it just seems like it comes out of their mouth that they just can't even help it anymore, seems like. But see what you got to do? You got to start. I told a lie, and I'm going to tell the truth. You got to start somewhere, and it'll change. This next one, I'm telling you. He says, be ye angry, and what? Don't sin. He says, where'd I go? Oh, yeah. And don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. What's that mean? Don't hold a grudge. If it gets dark, getting dark, Sandy, I don't care what Robert did to you. When you get over there, you get to where you just barely can sliver see that sun. I forgive you, Robert. I forgive you. He didn't even tell you he's sorry. I forgive you, Robert. That's what that means. But the one before that, that one was mine. Now, I ain't never liked lying. Now, Scotty, he was a liar. I mean, I'm telling you, he just walking, talking lie. I lied, but I didn't like lying and stuff. And I was not a thief. If I ever stole anything, he had to talk me into it. But anyway, all of that, I'm serious. That man. He told me one time something about he taught me everything I know. And I said, yeah, how to sin. That's what you taught me. How to sin, that's all. But anyway, get off of that. This one was one of my biggest ones, and it was that anger. Now, me and him got married when I was 14 years old. I met him when I was 13. We got married when I was 14, and he had just turned 18 that year. And he's a daddy's boy. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Native, would you want to tell us? Do whatever he wants to do, and it's okay, ain't it? While the rest of y'all get the fire beat out of y'all. Is that right? So now he's going to marry me, and that's how he thinks he's going to do me. Well, now, I am the oldest. That's had a lot of responsibility and kind of raised with an attitude, you don't tell me nothing. And I'm going to whoop you before you whoop me. So me and him, we kind of have a unique relationship. We're husband and wife, but yet at the same time, we raise ourselves kind of like brother and sister. What's brother and sister do, Travis? He didn't even have one, but he can tell you. Why, he's got a boy and a girl. He's got two of them. What do they do a lot of times? Fuss, fight, argue. That's exactly what we done. So here we go. Lo and behold, somebody that's got the temperament he's got, quick-tempered, ain't nobody going to tell him nothing. Then here we go. Here I am. I'm kind of raised. I'm going to whoop you before you whoop me. And you ain't going to tell me nothing. And here we go. What do? Whatever we very well want to that we can get by with. And if he wants something and I don't want it, what's he going to do? Thinks he's going to talk to me bad, jerk me around, call me out my name, and make me, you got another thing coming, buddy. So then he don't want to do what I want to do. What's going to happen? I'm going to slap you around, knock you around, pull your hair out till you say yes. I'm serious. So then you go years of this, day after day. When I met my stepdad, he wanted something to drink. Mama brought him over. First time I ever met him, going to give you something to drink. And I told him, I said, sorry, I don't have any glasses. Some people, they don't like to drink out of plastic. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have any glasses. I said, but they do break when you throw them. And that was just like, yay to him. But anyway, so that's how my life was. Then you go year after year after year like that of yielding your thoughts, yielding to your emotions, yielding to the devil, him, me. You know what you get? Out of control. Then you get born again and you want to change. To where then when he don't do what I want him to do or say what I want him to say, I don't want to do that, Johnny. But because I have so yielded to that, I can't seem to stop it. So then I pray, God, help me. I don't want to be this way. Help me, Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm the helper. Make the choice, Teresa. I thought I'm making the choice. Because I cry and I go to the altar and I bawl and I pray and I ask for help. But I don't make the choice and stay there. years as a Christian. Until one day, lo and behold, we're all on a family vacation, 20-something of us, and everybody sees it. I do something dumb, according to Scotty. Now, I ain't never done nothing dumb in my life, according to me. But anyway, according to Scotty, I do something dumb, and it makes him upset with me. Well, after a few days, I think 3 days, no talking to me, which I kind of enjoyed. You know, I can watch more TV uninterrupted. But anyway, I have no talking to him. I'm like, I need to change. So I told him, I said, look, I said, when I get home, I think I'm going to work on me. And I did. So when I got home, I prayed and I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, help me to not be this way, because I know it is not the will of God, and I am tired. Being mad every day all the time is tiring. It gets old. Not having no peace or joy. So he began to help me, Johnny. He began to give me verses. I just felt it, not that I heard a voice, but in my heart I felt like, okay, read 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Every day, read it every day. Now, see, you might think, what is that going to do? Read that every day. My life won't be transformed, Johnny, until my mind is renewed. You cannot walk in the true love of God and the anger of the flesh at the same time. I began to read that every day, and then he began to give me other places to read every day, and I began to read them every day, and I have been reading them things for, I don't know, 6-7 years. Now, I don't do it every day, almost every day, but like giveaway yesterday, I don't get up early enough to read that before then or whatever. And lo and behold, when he would do something or not do something, and I'd feel that anger. He didn't say you wouldn't feel it. He said, be angry. That meant, you feel it, don't you? He said, but don't sin. What's that mean? Don't yield your thoughts to it. Don't yield to the feelings to it. Don't yield your tongue to it. Yield to love. And then he tells you what love is and what love does. Right? Cindy, would you come up here? So now,
put your coat on. If you're cold, put it on here. Now, just put it on. Put it on, the rest of it. I thought you was cold. Put it on. This is how it is. This is the new man. You feel like the old man, right? But according to Scripture, you're a new creature in Christ. But you still feel pain. See, mine was that. I still feel. So in order for me to not yield to that, what am I going to have to do? Put on the new man. Now, is she instantaneously warm if she's been cold to the bone a long time? No. So when I don't yield to that anger, I feel that anger, but I don't lash out. I don't yield my members to it. I don't slam the cabinet door. I don't cut you out. I don't call you out your name. Because I yield to that new man.
It's not me. And you can't make me be or do anything.
Thank you, Sam.
Did y'all get with that, what I was talking about? That's what we have to do every day. I may feel like I'm a drug addict, but how many knows I get born in? I'm not a drug addict. I don't care what AA tells you, right? That's one of the problems that I have with them, that if you was this, you'll always be this. Not according to Scripture. I get born again, I am no longer. I don't care if I did it after I got saved. I'm still not that. Why? Because I've been made a new creature in Christ. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? I've got to pause because we're actually out of time, and Pastor's still not giving us our hour, Monty. So I'm going to have to close this up. No? Y'all good? All right, we'll race us to 11.